Warm greetings to all present. May I express my sincere thanks at being able to share in this historic occasion. I'm so pleased that my dear friend Fred Mackay is also to give you a message. As we think of those men of 458 who are no longer with us, we remember also one who, like Fred and myself, held in very high regard the commanding officers, air crew and ground staff of 458, a squadron we were proud to serve. I refer to my departed colleague, Padre John McNamara. The history of 458 has been very well written by Peter Alexander. He served the squadron from its formation to its last parade, and it is heartening to know that a second edition of his history has been printed. Well done, Peter. The dedication of a book says much about the author. One of the finest dedications I have ever read is in a monumental book on the Burma campaign written by Field Marshal Sir William Slim, Defeat into Victory. He dedicates this superb work to his wife. It reads, "To Aileen, a soldier's wife who was prepared to follow the drum, and from mud-walled hut, a government house, make a home." Knowing both Sir William and his dear wife during my time in Canberra when they were busy settling into government house, I learned something of the truth and sincerity of that dedication. It cheered me greatly to note Peter's dedication in the second edition of his history. It reads, "I dedicate this book to the wives and to the widows of 458 Squadron and to those girls whose young men died in 458 service before they could return to them." Truly a gracious and sensitive tribute to those who share in this proud moment today when we dedicate the completed memorial at home on Spalding Moor. I say completed, for we are reminded on page 255 of Peter's history of what was here before. There is a photograph of a memorial tree, at the base of which is a small plaque, and underneath this simple photo are these words, "All of 458 that remains at home on Spalding Moor, a memorial tree." I suggest that there is much more of 458 that is evident today. It is a fine spirit of comradeship and heartfelt gratitude to those whose memory we hallow in this place. Above the photo of the memorial tree, there is a fine photo of Eric Monkman, a very devoted and energetic president of the New South Wales flight of 458. When on the 1st of September 1941, 458 Squadron Royal Australian Air Force came together as a squadron at home on Spalding Moor, Eric was one of the original orderly room personnel. That photo reminds me of the strength of 458. The quality of its ground staff, as well as its air crew, and of the tremendous loyalty and pride which has motivated so much squadron activity throughout the post-war years. There are a number of memorial trees planted in various parts of the world. I can remember planting one in South Australia. Those memorial trees are all in memory of the men who didn't return. The trees still grow, and so does the spirit of 458. May God bless all who work to keep that fine spirit of comradeship, sacrifice, and service alive and well. God bless you.
This is Padre Fred Mackay speaking from Sydney, Australia. My memories of Middle East days with 458 Squadron are vividly real, and some of them very sacred. What a privilege it was to be part of the trio of Padres who became so close to one another in our common task and in our unforgettable friendships with the men of the squadron. Johnny McNamara, our Catholic colleague, died about 3 years ago, and to the last he was the same jovial, inspiring friend of everybody. Johnny and I worked very closely together, and our friendship was bonded in a very special way. Bob Davies is now a retired bishop in Tasmania. Dear old Bob, always available still to give his typical strong leadership, he's made a great mark in the Anglican Church. I am the veteran of the so-called Terrible Three, a Presbyterian now in the Uniting Church in Australia, and at 82 and a half years of age, I'm still carrying forward with some of my old interests in the Flying Doctor service and in the church, as best I can. Graham Coombs, that old contemptible of the early days at home on Spalding Moor, and now secretary of the 458 Squadron Council, has very graciously suggested that Bob Davies and I may have some share in this historic occasion when the memorial is being dedicated. We therefore join with you all today as you are gathered for this historic commemorative act. We join with you with a sense of pride and with some very grateful memories. I would like to say at the very outset that the Australian squadrons in the Middle East, 3, 450, 451, 454, 459, 458, 462, and Air Ambulance, they made a very distinctive contribution, some of which is little known. 458 among these squadrons, I believe, established its own unique character. It had a distinctive ethos and fellowship, and this comes out in the squadron news today, which, of course, credit going to Peter Alexander and his cohorts. Squadron news takes its place in all the Australian journals of active service units in a very special way. It seems to bind people together in a warm fellowship which comes out again and again. It is easily the best squadron news in our land. And of course, people like Eric Monkman started things moving. Cy Irwin, Jim Holliday, Stan Tarzinski, Ted Jewell, and of course, Jim Donaldson over in Canada and Sid Tomsett in the UK. What a team you are. Doing something which is unique to make 458 the kind of preserved friendship that is so precious to everybody. As a padre, I know the bonds which are maintained so magnificently. They're real bonds. And of course they go right back to home on Spalding Moor. I should add at this point that the wives and widows of 458 set an example of squadron loyalty which is quite outstanding, and it's a feature of the 458 family that wives and children are now part of the squadron fellowship in a very real way. For instance, I will never forget the tremendous gathering of 458ers and their wives who got together 4 years ago. What do you think they did? They were celebrating the 50th year of my ordination as a minister. Now, what other squadron would do that? Giving a real rollicking party for a padre. Meg, my wife, was tremendously impressed. And what friendships were developed on that night between the wives of the squadron. Meg and I will never forget it. And I feel this is typical of a spirit in 458 which is pretty wonderful and unique. Well, we are here today to remember. To remember. What about Sergeant Peter Hamilton's crew? Those brave boys who were the first casualty of 458 Squadron on the 20th of October 1941. These boys stand up in our memory today in a special way because they were the first ones who went out and didn't come back. Peter Hamilton's crew. Now my own memory has some very rich compartments. I remember Norman Mulholland, wing commander, first commanding officer, who was shot down at Malta, leading the first flight from home on Spalding to the Middle East. He was a Queenslander, a mate of mine, who had gone over to England and joined the RAF. A great pilot. He was a pilot in Australia, 33 years of age, a man of courage, with marks of air accident all over his face. A champion. He went in at Malta, leading over the first three aircraft toward the Middle East battle zone. And I remember Wing Commander John O. Johnson, who took Norman Mulholland's place as the second commanding officer of 458. He was from Winton in Queensland, a special mate of mine, where we worked together in the area of the country where the Flying Doctor was operating in its early days. John O. Johnson. Now, I'm not setting out to vaunt my Queensland mates, but my, I remember Dick Boyd Dell and Locke Simpson, Johnny Rosenberg, Bernie McLaughlin, Stan Parker, Charlie Warren, Fitter 2E, and these ground staff boys, Bob Dangard, young Hetherington, Harry Denshaw. They were banana benders, as we call them up north. And what fraternity we established on the squadron, and how many others there were. What a family of people. I want especially to make mention of a memory which is very vivid of Lieutenant Colonel Bruce McKenzie, that great South African commanding officer who took over from John O. Johnson and who flew Henrietta for special reasons. That was at Potville near Tunis in August, September 1943. Air Vice Marshal Wrigley, the big boss from London, had visited 458 Squadron the previous day. Big parade, big party. The next night, interestingly enough, Bruce McKenzie suggested we have a church service. And this was held in the Airman's Mess. Bruce McKenzie, Lieutenant Colonel, encouraged every officer to come to the bulging tent, and all the NCOs, all the airmen, standing up everywhere. Ted Jewell led the singing. Now Bruce McKenzie walked forward to read the lesson. That big man with the red hair and the side whiskers. And he read Psalm 27. I can still hear this man standing up before the whole squadron family and looking out over us and reading the words which started off, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" The picture is so etched in my memory. What a leader that man was. And what companionship he developed with the ground staff, especially the fitters, you remember? At the end of that service, where did he go? He went to Charlie Wannan's tent. No, Charlie Warren. Charlie Wannan was a pilot in 3 Squadron, but this is Charlie Warren, the fitter to E, from Winton in Queensland. And they boiled a billy together, and here was the commanding officer sitting with ground staff in the tent, just yarning away. And that indicated something of the oneness of the 458 family group. Now, right opposite was Joe Elliott's tent and his well-known cobbers. Joe Elliott. What a memory. Now, I've seen Jim Donaldson's letter in the November 1988 Squadron News about Warrant Officer Joe Elliott. And I believe what Jim Donaldson said. Joe Elliott was the 458 type. There was something in Joe Elliott that made him the kind of symbol of the distinctive character of the squadron. Now, the memory of Joe will be very rich in many of your hearts. I wrote a letter to Joe's mother. I wrote it from Prattville, and I got a wonderful note in reply. I didn't get it till I was back in Foggia in Italy. And those aircraft letters, there were hundreds of them written from 458 Squadron. In my file there are some very precious memories. Well, today at home on Spalding Moor, as we picture you all together, we grasp again at these memories, McKenzie's Air Force, as Peter Alexander describes the Prattville and Algiers days. We are thinking of the men who didn't come back from those days. Boys, so many of them, great lads, brave men who left loved ones at home. I have a memory of June 1944, the forward flight in Sardinia, Algiers airfield. I swam on the beach that day with Dusty Miller, Fred James, George Connors, Gordon Vail, Ernie Laming, and John Rosenberg. Now, why do I say that? My memory is so rich of that particular day, because John Rosenberg came came back to Australia and was one of our greatest flying doctor pilots. His memory is very, very rich. I conducted his funeral last year. So as well as the war graves overseas in various places, there are the graves at home of people who are buried with the 458 banner over their casket. As you all gather today around that old tree, I simply join with you in thanksgiving to God for those who paid dearly with their own lives, and for those who still carry war scars and are still among us. And we hold deeply in our hearts those proud widows who will never forget. We do not glorify war, but we honour our mates and we pray for peace in our time. God bless you all today.